Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Shannon, are you jealous?
Of what, babe?
Well, have you not seen? The VMAs happened.
Oh, right. Drake and Rihanna.
And Drake held hands with Rihanna as they were coming off the stage.
Do you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I'm not even jealous because as
Let
much
me see your
as
eyes.
I... My eyes? We're hiding behind microphones. Now, as much as I've got a really strong, What's another word for strong? I've got a really strong love for Drake, but I've also got love for Drake and Rihanna together.
Oh, so do you?
I'm kind
so
of
you
happy.
Don't mind?
Yeah.
But did
it's
you
like,
hear
if he's
the
not
speech?
With me, I'd rather him be with Rihanna. That he gave.
Yeah.
No, I've only seen the end of it where he tries to kiss her and she's like, no thanks.
I mean, I think you should be jealous because...
Stop trying to make me jealous. I'm really happy for them. Anyway, talking of love.
Yes.
We've been talking of love, haven't we?
This yeah, episode. With who?
With none other than Fred from First Dates.
Do you watch First Dates?
I watch First Dates.
It's such a good program.
Yeah, so if anyone hasn't watched First Dates, it's basically a show on Channel 4 where they get loads of couples to meet up and have their first date in this restaurant.
Yeah, they're not couples yet.
They've never met.
These people have never met and they're going on blind dates and they turn up to a restaurant and it's all televised and they have their first date and then you can watch all the awkward moments and all the great moments.
You explain that much better. So
can you tell us, I'm a fan?
Yeah. So explain why Fred is such an integral part of First Dates.
So Fred is the maitre d'. So he's like the first person that people see and he's so nice, but also really cool and French, and he gives all these amazing like insights into love and like one-liners. So we went down to his restaurant, his other restaurant where he does his 9-to-5 job, and we asked him all these questions that we ask people at ASOS about love and relationships and got all of his words of wisdom.
Yeah, that was really exciting. And Annie, what have you been doing this episode?
Well, another exciting thing that's happened is the new issue of ASOS magazine has launched.
It sure has.
So all the things that are exciting for autumn winter 16. So I spoke to Letty and Joe, who work on our fashion team, and I got them to talk through a couple of trends that are going to be big for autumn. So you're going to be hearing all about that, all the key pieces to buy.
Okay, good. I'll get my shopping list ready.
And we've been talking to people about the future.
We have.
Yeah, so what excites you about the future?
What excites me about the future? Drake and Rihanna. Or me and Drake, or Drake coming on our podcast. Those are all exciting things.
I like how
future.
Your future is all orientated around Drake.
Why are we talking about the future?
Because the theme of the new issue is called Create Your New Future. So we went round and asked people what they are excited about the future.
Yeah, and it's a very packed episode because Georgia went down to Reading Prison.
Reading Prison? Why did you go there?
She went because there's a unique exhibition on, which we will be hearing more about later. All right, so Annie, get in the fashion cupboard.
Right. Hi, Letty. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Annie.
Right. For people who haven't heard the podcast before, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Letty. I'm on the Women's Wear fashion team and I'm deputy style editor.
And I'm Joe and I'm a Women's Wear stylist on the fashion team.
Right. So, ladies, today we're going to be talking about the trend guide. Now, the trend guide is something that we do in the magazine every season, and it sort of outlines all the trends for that season. And we're going to sort of tackle two of them today. So what's the first one that we're going to be looking at?
So for autumn winter 16, which pretty much kicking off now, we are really excited about the 90s.
The 90s.
I love the 90s.
The 90s comes around every season. So why is the 90s cool again for autumn winter 16?
Well, yeah, it's been around for a few seasons and obviously We're always referencing like different eras, but what's the new take on this one is that it's kind of got a bit more of a grungy spirit to it. So there's a lot of influence from like punk culture, also skate culture, and rather than kind of looking to like the clean, minimal aesthetic of like New York, where we have in the past, this is more about skate culture in like Seattle, for example.
Okay, so it's grunge spirit is kind of what we're calling this trend. So it's a bit more where, as you said, in spring, summer, it was more about slip dressing and minimal. This is a bit more Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, so we really love the montage of Heck documentary film, and also referencing films like Reality Bites. Also, there was a big Palace exhibition in London, which is kind of a London skate brand. So yeah, it's all kind of all based around that kind of thing.
And if you want to sort of wear this trend, what sort of pieces would you be looking at getting?
I think key pieces are oversized hoodie.
The hoodie. Again,
yay, hoodie!
The hoodie still reigns, okay?
It's never going away, Annie.
With a logo, though, this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, lots of logos, slip dressing again, but printed slip dresses, layered over exaggerated sleeve jerseys.
Yeah, because there's a lot of this
sleeves
at the moment. You have to have your sleeves really long.
Yeah, they have to cover your hands.
That's the new proportions.
Yes, everything's oversized, but more oversized than just your boyfriend's oversized, just extreme oversized.
Okay, well, this is quite good anyway, because my sleeves are always long.
Exactly.
Because I've got quite short arms, so then I'm just basically doing grunge spirit already.
Without even trying.
Right, and in terms of like styling details, though, sort of more specific things, how can you do that? Is it a lot about layering?
Definitely layering, but layering like unexpected things like hoodies under slip dresses and, you know, deconstructed jeans.
What do we mean by deconstructed jeans?
Denim where it's literally, it looks as if you've had two pairs of denim jeans and they've been cut up and then put back together.
Okay, so we're calling it decon recon.
Decon recon.
And that kind of stemmed from like 90s influences with designers such as Margiela, who really like championed that in the 90s. And then more recently, designers like Vetements, they're kind of like really reconstructing like classic pieces and making something new from it.
Yeah, lots of clashing as well. So like clashing like ditzy florals with checks as well.
Okay, so you can bring out your checks again.
Yes, checks aren't going away. Big oversized check shirts, great.
And what sort of designers were doing this? What were we looking at in terms of on the catwalk?
Well, we loved Alexander Wang in New York for that whole kind of like punky, like youth 90s feel. Also, Vetements are still a real kind of influential show. Off-White as well from New York. And then also like stylists like Lotta Volkova, who's the Russian stylist for Balenciaga and Vetements, and even menswear designers like Gosha Rubinsky, who's also Russian, and is just really kind of like pushing this whole movement.
So that sort of area as well is quite interesting for this trend. It's sort of a new movement of young Russian designers. Okay, so that's one trend, and completely on sort of opposite in a way is the next trend, which is called Granny's Attic.
Yeah, so this is a really fun trend of ours, and it's kind of like really inspired by like vintage dressing and like eccentricity of like this whole thing of era-less and genderless fashion as well. And we've got some amazing key pieces around that, and style icons such as like Iris Apfel.
So Iris Apfel is a bit of a style icon, and she wears a very fabulous mashup of all different types of clothes.
Yeah, and I think it's more about she was kind of more for dressing for style rather than trends, just mixing and matching, staying like kind of true to your style.
What are the key pieces that you should be wearing for this trend?
So key pieces, yeah, would be definitely be oversized coloured faux fur, jacquards, anything jacquard. Jacquard suits is amazing. Even jacquard coats with faux fur sleeves, if you want to match it up. Eastern-inspired embroidery, lots of velvet, ruffles, you know, pleated midi skirts.
Okay, so there's a lot just going on in this trend.
Yeah, stripes, metallic.
And it's about putting it all together at the same time.
And bows.
And it's a lot about personality, isn't it? So if you've got like a denim jacket, maybe about putting pins.
Lots of pins, yeah. Pins is really nice. Even still like the patches that come through from, you know, the whole
customized denim thing, like, you know, taking those patches off and putting them on like a little velvet jacket.
So this trend is very much about showing your personality.
Yeah.
And if you want some mini styling tricks for this trend, what would they be?
Geeky glasses.
And loafers?
Yeah, lots of loafers. Any loafers, backless, leather, tapestry, metallic.
Great. Live in loafers. Okay, so Granny's Attic or Grunge Spirit. It's really interesting. Thank you so much for talking us through the trends. And we've got a couple more trends, I think, this season, so we'll probably get you back for another episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Letty. Thanks, Jinx.
Bye, Annie.
Wow, okay. I feel like not only have I got a shopping list out of that, I've also got a to-watch list. I've got the Cobain documentary, the Iris Apfel one, Reality Bites. So thanks for that. Very informative.
Yeah, and what pieces do you think you're going to buy then?
Okay, what's on my list? I'm quite into a massive hoodie.
I think I can definitely do the oversized hoodie. And
no, you can't.
I can.
On, on the
because
floor.
I just buy a normal hoodie and it will be a little bit oversized.
And he's quite little.
Yeah, quite mini. Well, 5 foot.
Sorry. Annie's height aside, it does sound like a very exciting time for fashion.
It is. And it feels like the system's changing a little bit because menswear and womenswear are starting to show together. It feels like the future is changing.
It's very cool. So I think we've spoken about it before, but Annie and I work on the magazine. So we have these big brainstorming meetings where we talk about things like this. And that is part of the reason we came up with our theme, didn't we? It's called Create Your New Future. And we've got Grimes on the cover. You might have got it in your letterbox, because we felt like she was also kind of messing with the rules, rewriting things,
making things happen.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So on that note, we were inspired and we decided to ask people what they are excited about for the future.
In the future, I'm excited to see what opportunities develop for women in the creative industries, and I'm also looking forward to seeing how the next generation of girls do better artistic things than we've done.
So I read something really interesting on Twitter recently, and someone said that in blogging, the people that do well are the ones that have a really strong sense of self. So I'm trying to hone that more in myself and just always be who I am and not try and be a version of anyone else and just always be true to myself. So that's how I'm seeing my future at the moment.
I'm excited about a destination wedding I'm going to in Bali.
I'm excited about being stable enough to live in a place where I can own pets. Like cats and dogs.
In terms of fashion, I think there does seem to have been a shift recently, and it feels really exciting and quite fresh, and I think it's moving away from maybe that kind of more homogenous take on trends, and it's more expressive, and with the new designers that are coming up and the, you know, movement between the huge fashion houses and different designers going to different places, I think there's quite a lot to be excited about.
In the future, to be honest, I'm just really, really excited about Christmas.
In the future, I'm looking forward to my boyfriend finally moving back to the UK so I don't have to keep doing long distance anymore.
I'm excited to be part of an industry that is completely led and dominated by women. I'm excited to see where that goes because we're all in our kind of early to mid-20s for the most part. So I'm excited to see how it develops as we all grow up and where my place in that will be as well.
So Shannon, do you still want to talk about Drake after all of those really interesting comments?
Are you saying my comments weren't interesting?
No, but do you still want to talk about Drake?
Yeah, me and Drake have got big plans for the future.
Where's Georgia?
So I'm in cell C325, and artist and director Steve McQueen, his piece is in here. It's called The Winter, and it was made this year, 2016. And it is a metal bed, one that was used by the prisoners throughout the prison's history. It's really tiny. It's narrower than most single beds are nowadays, and it just looks extremely uncomfortable. So it's the metal bed, and it's got gold-plated mosquito netting hanging from the ceiling, so sort of like a princess net that children have over their beds, and a spotlight in the corner of the cell is shining onto the net, and it just kind of evokes this angelic sort of soul-lifting experience. And it's kind of haunting being in such a confined cell, which clearly is really echoey because the ceilings are quite low and the space is really small, one window with bars over it.
Whoa, that sounds intriguing. George is in prison.
I know, she's really good at describing.
Yeah. Hello, guys.
Ah, great timing.
Georgia Murray, that was really fast. You come from Reading.
Well, trains are fast nowadays, Annie Chin.
So you were at an exhibition in Reading Prison, right?
Yes.
It sounds really cool. Can you tell us all about it?
It is absolutely amazing, and I urge everyone to go. It's held by London-based arts organisation Art Angel, and it's called Inside, Artists and Writers in Reading Prison. So various artists and writers will respond to the prison's most notorious inmate, Irish playwright, novelist, essayist and poet Oscar Wilde.
Okay, so this might be a silly question, but the prison itself, it's not still a working prison, is it?
No, it's definitely not a silly question, but no, it's not a working prison anymore. I think what's really cool about the exhibition is that the prison itself has been shut to the public since 2013. So you're seeing inside something that you usually wouldn't have access to. Obviously, prisons aren't something like a tourist attraction. But before that, it housed young male offenders aged between 18 and 21.
Okay, so back to Oscar Wilde. He cropped up in my A-level English?
Probably.
GCSE? A-level? Yeah. But I can't remember that much. Do you, Annie?
No. Can you tell us a bit about him?
Okay, cool. So, like I said, he was a writer, and he was kind of known for his wit and his really flamboyant social life. But if you don't know who he is, you might have heard of his most famous works. The Picture of Dorian Gray?
Yeah.
And the importance of being earnest.
It was A-level, and I studied that.
Yes, okay, yeah.
And it's really funny, isn't it?
It is really funny, yeah. And they've both been adapted for TV and the big screen. So in 1891, Wilde began a relationship with a young aristocrat called Lord Alfred Douglas, much to the anger of Douglas's father. Douglas's father sent Wilde a note accusing him of sodomy, and against the advice of his friends, Wilde responded by suing for libel. 3 months and three trials later, Wilde was imprisoned. He was at jail from 1895 to 97 on charges for acts of gross indecency with other male persons. So we've got to remember that homosexuality was both a criminal offence and a societal taboo at the time. So his time in Reading Jail was brutal. He suffered from hunger, insomnia, disease, and he was trapped in a series of harsh punishments. Inmates were confined for 23 hours a day and not allowed to make contact with each other at all. In the latter part of his incarceration, he was given permission to write to friends, and so he wrote a letter to Douglas entitled De Profundis. Meaning from the depths in Latin, it's essentially about their time together and has some of Wilde's most famous quotes in it, like this one. With freedom, books, flowers and the moon, who could not be happy?
Aww. I love that quote. I didn't actually know that was him.
Yeah, it's like super famous and is like everywhere on Tumblr, but...
So what happened after that? Was he released?
He was, in 1897. Although he was unable to establish a life in London when he was released and he was no longer allowed to see his children. So he fled to France. He wrote his last published work, The Ballad of Reading Jail, in 1898 before his death in 1900. Both The Ballad of Reading Jail and De Profundis are still massively respected and studied now. And the exhibition will see artists and writers responding to both pieces, as well as themes of incarceration, love, separation and betrayal.
Wow. So basically you get to learn a lot more about Oscar Wilde and you get to visit this kind of amazing historical site. What else is going on in the exhibition? Like, who else is there? Why should we go?
Well, I spoke to James Lingwood, co-founder of Art Angel, about the exhibition, who chatted about Wilde's legacy and why we should all be going.
People will come for their own reasons, but we think a lot of them will be because they've never had a chance to go inside Reading Prison. I mean, if you live in or around Reading, this prison looms large in the consciousness of the town, and it has done for generations. So I think there's a fascination with what being inside a prison feels like. But of course, for many people, Reading Prison resonates because of Oscar Wilde's experience. And Oscar Wilde is a figure who still speaks to successive generations of people because of his writing, because of his sexuality, because of the way he was treated and martyred, in a way, because of his sexuality, and because of how... out of the depths of his pain and suffering in Reading Prison, he produced this most extraordinary, heart-rending letter, love letter, De Profundis. Oscar Wilde's prison writing is in a way so modern. If you think of a lot of 19th century writing, it's doesn't reach so deeply into your own, you know, your own state of being. That's much more of a modern phenomenon, sort of confessional writing, people sort of talking about how they feel, articulating their emotional states in great detail. So I think De Profundis comes across to us today as still something which talks to our condition today and to the kind of the love, to confinement, to isolation. We have an amazing family of artists and writers here. I mean, just extraordinary artists from around the world, like Marlene Dumas, Steve McQueen, Wolfgang Tillmans, extraordinary writers and activists like sort of Ai Weiwei and Jeanette Winterson, great readers like Patti Smith, Colm Tóibín. I mean, how can you choose?
Wow, there's so many incredible artists involved then.
Yeah, and what's really, really brilliant is that they've all sort of responded in a really personal way. I think the one I'm most excited about seeing is Patti Smith, who will be reading De Profundis in its entirety on the last Sunday of the exhibition's running.
So you're going to go back?
Yeah, that'll be amazing.
I'm definitely going back. You know, I'm her number one fan.
So when can people go?
So it's open to the 30th of October. Tickets are between £2 and £9. And you can buy them at artangel.org.uk. But make sure you check out what's on beforehand on the website, because they've got various talks, performances and tours that differ each week.
Great. That sounds amazing. Thanks, Georgia. We'll definitely be going down, right?
Yes. Yeah, we'll definitely be going. Thanks for talking to us about it.
Bye.
Bye.
That Reading Prison thing sounds so good.
Sounds very, very interesting.
When can we go?
Well, we've got a lot of things to put in our diary because George keeps going to all these really amazing exhibitions. So I think we might need an exhibition calendar.
Okay. It's a date.
All right. Talking of dates, I think we have a date with someone coming up next, because this is usually the time of the episode where we ask people's opinions on love, relationships, dating.
Yeah, but we didn't need to do that this time because we only thought we needed one person's opinion.
Yeah, so where are we going? We're going down to the Hilton Hotel because we've got a date with Fred from First Dates, which I'm personally very excited about.
Va-va-voom. Hi, Fred.
Hello, how are you?
Really good, how are you?
Very good, thank you, very
good. Thank you so much for having us here in your restaurant. So this is not the First Date restaurant that we know. This is Galvin's. How long have you been working here?
I've been here since May 2006. And yeah, it's been an amazing ride here, right?
This restaurant's got the most incredible views.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the 28th floor of the Lonely Donald Park Lane. It's amazing, overlooking the whole of London. You know, it's the best location in town, I think.
I think it makes a little bit of a difference from our studio that we usually record in. The view is much better here, Fred.
Good.
Maybe we can come back and record the next one. So, you've been a maitre d' for about 20, is it 25 years?
25 years, yeah.
So, what appealed to you about being on the show then, if you've been a maitre d' for so long?
Well, I worked with one of the directors that I knew and trusted, and he asked me if I wanted to take part in the program, which to start with I was not really sure, because, you know, I'm not desperate to be on television and I'm only interested to do good things and things I can be proud of.
Yeah.
Then I met with the producers, I met with the CEO of 2020, the company that make First Date, and I think I was reassured by what they were telling me and how they wanted to make the program, and they want to make something that's genuine, that's true, they want to make something that's real, where we actually genuinely want to bring people together and just pair them and match them to the best of our ability so they can find love. And on paper, it does work every single time.
Oh, yeah, what's it like? Because it looks like there's kind of an amazing atmosphere of just, I don't know, I can't imagine being like, a restaurant where everyone's
on a date. We should say, Shan, that we are huge fans.
Yeah, actually. We are. We've been fanning out. But yeah, what's the kind of, are there any secrets that we wouldn't expect?
No, there's no secret. I mean, it's very simple. You know, people come to the restaurant, you know, you see the first person to arrive or go through the door, and then I meet them, you get a sense of who they are and what they're hopefully looking for, and then you either take them to table, then to the bar, you have a further conversation. So you get a sense of who they are as people. And then the second person comes, and then, you know, then this is where the magic starts and where the fun starts, really.
Yeah.
They really haven't seen each other before.
Never.
So it's that genuine first reaction.
It's all real. It's all a genuine first reaction. And what you see is exactly what the other person sees.
Do you think you can tell pretty straight away? So if there's a couple, can you be like, oh, that's going well, that's not going so well?
I mean, you get a sense from the vibe, from the energy that people are just sending out, you know, when you meet them, you know, and you get that. We all have that sixth sense, and I think that you're just tapping into it and being a bit aware of it. And you can. And sometimes you just get it completely wrong. So... It's just depends really.
And what has been the like funniest moment, do you think, so far? Has there been a standout moment where you're like, that was like the craziest, funniest thing that could have happened?
I always remember the first episode of the last series that we did. We had Frankie and Malola. They were both dancers, both 21 or 22. And Frankie was saying that oysters, you know, didn't do it, you know, for her, you know, in inverted commas, but Olive did, and they ordered some olives. And they obviously fancied each other straight away, and Frankie had a lovely laugh. It was so funny.
Aww.
And they were eating olives, laughing and giggling, the both of them. It was very, very funny. Yeah, that was very funny.
That's so nice.
But you must get asked, like, all the time what your dating tips are, and I think we are also going to ask you, but what is the one thing that people ask you the most to get your advice on?
I don't know, it depends. I think that you having a conversation with people, you know, that are honest, deep, meaningful conversation, that's interesting because, you know, the superfluous is very boring. So it's nice to get straight into it.
So if you were on the show, how would you ace it? How would you ace your date? What would you order? How would you make it a great date?
I don't know. I think that you just take it as it comes, you know. You just... You know, there's a pretty girl, you like her, you know, she likes you, she smiles, you smile, and then just have a conversation, you know, and ask about their what they do, their hobbies, ask about them, listen to what they have to say, and maybe make some suggestion, some wine, or, yeah, have some
wine. Wine's always
what
good.
If you're feeling really nervous? Because quite often people go and they look so nervous.
No, I don't feel nervous for things like that.
But how do you, what do you do? What do you, what would you tell people if they're nervous about a date? How do you stay calm and not?
You know, it's like everything. I mean, you watch, you know, Usain Bolt, for example, who won 100 metres. He must have felt yeah. very nervous, even though he said he wasn't. He must have felt nervous, but you've got to... You've got to get on with it. You've got to do it, you know. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, what will happen? What is the worst that can happen? The thing is these fears. You know, talking about quote, you know, Shakespeare was saying that fears are like horrible, no less than horrible imaginings, right? And that's what they are, you know. And so I think that if we let them take over us, you know, they're going to run our lives, and we can't let that happen. So
embrace the
good
fear.
Quote.
That's what you've got to do, Shannon. You've got to embrace
the
fear.
Okay, I'll go on a date.
I don't know if you know, but you know, I like boxing, and I really
do. You?
I
love boxing.
I enjoy boxing a lot. So when I go. I used to be very, very scared when I got into a ring and I got into fighting. And then you go into the ring and you have to talk to yourself. You go into your corner, you know, your hands are very wet, you know, and your heart is racing, and you're thinking, my God, you know. But then you put yourself in the ring, you put yourself in this position, you know. I'm the one who wanted to go there. And so, okay, just breathe, just relax, you know, and just get your heart rate down, and just the bell goes, and then you get on your stance and start jabbing.
I want to go boxing now.
Yeah, me too. I quite want to start boxing. Maybe we should just talk about boxing.
Yeah.
Okay, right. We've got some sort of love relationship problems that people around the office...
Yeah, we've done a bit of research. We've got everyone's burning questions.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So what is
first
it?
One,
go on, eat me with it.
They remain nameless. My friend always goes for the bad guys. She's met a really nice guy, but she doesn't really fancy him. And every day he buys her a present. What should she do?
Why doesn't she fancy him? She just...
She doesn't...
Annie, do you know who this is?
No, yeah, she really likes him and she really enjoys his company, but he's a bit too nice and he keeps buying her a present every single day, and she doesn't know whether she should keep going on dates with him to see if it sort of develops or whether she should just call it a day.
Right. And it's funny, a lot of women don't like guys who are too nice. It's a strange thing. I talked to her, oh, he's too nice, he's da-da-da. I said, what do you want? Do you want somebody who's nice or do you want a horrible guy? No, I want a horrible nice guy. Oh, okay. It's difficult. I mean, why does she go also to, you know, with, I don't know, all these ladies?
Do you? I don't know.
In her 20s.
In her 20s. So she's very young, you know, and, I mean, why is she always following a pattern of going with these guys? It's difficult to discuss it, you know, when you don't know her and you don't know the story, but, you know, if she doesn't fancy the guy, I mean, I don't know if she's... Has she kissed him?
Oh, we didn't ask her.
Do you think it's
so
important that spark? Do you think there has to be a spark, or do you think you can grow to kind of, like,
I
someone?
Think it's nice that there's a spark, but, you know, not... You know, some people punch above their weight. Maybe, you know, this is a classic case, you know, of her being
who's
a 10
punching?
And him a 1. And, you know, I don't know.
Again, we're getting back to boxing. Maybe there's things with my boxing.
It's all about boxing.
Okay, right, another one. All my friends in relationships, how can I meet someone without any wing women?
Now, why would you want somebody to hold a candle? Do you know what I mean? Why would you want somebody to hold a candle when you go on a date? I mean, if I go on a date with you, for example, I'm not going to ask you to come with us or vice versa.
Shannon, you're not invited on our date. Fred and I are going on a date together.
I think what she means is, how do you go out and meet people if all your friends are in relationships and they kind of want to just go on dates? How do you meet people? What's the best place? Is that right?
I don't know. I think she just needs any advice.
She just needs help.
Well, she can ask a friend to introduce her to other single people. She can go to bars. She can do sports. She can come to a restaurant, maybe, with people that she meet from work. And I think that there's so many ways to meet people.
What do you think about all those apps?
I think it's okay. I think, why not? I think you need to live with technology, you know, but I don't think you necessarily need it.
Need it, yeah.
Okay,
next problem.
Question.
How do you get out of a date if it's going really badly?
Bye.
Would you do that?
You say, thank you, I've got to go.
What, like mid-dinner?
Well, I think that, you know, possibly what you have to do is before the date, you kind of preempt that it could go pear-shaped, and therefore you already plan your exit strategy. So if you have to put it in place, then it doesn't seem rude, it seems very, very well, you know, and nobody gets offended or upset.
What would your exit strategy be?
I don't know. You just have to say, maybe, oh, I've got an hour and a half, or, you know, I've got a, let's go for a coffee first, let's go for a drink. So that if you're happy with the person, you have a second one, and maybe you go for some tapas or something.
Oh,
and
that's
then afterwards
quite a good idea.
Yeah.
You just make your excuses and...
Would you ever do a runner?
No.
Do you
ever...
got one more.
This is our last one. Okay. My friends say I'm really picky, but tell us, what is vavavoom?
Ah, le vavavoom.
Can you just say that again?
Le vavavoom.
Sounds so good.
I mean, le vavavoom is like, you know, you just... Je ne sais quoi, as they say, you know, it's that little bit extra, right?
Okay.
Either you got it or you don't.
I'm speechless. Can you say it again?
So good. And so, Fred, with all of his tips, there's a book called First Dates, The Art of Love, published by Penguin, which is out on the 22nd of September. So you can find all more tips and all about first dates in there. Thank you so much for having us.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. You're a
thank
genius.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks as always to Georgia Murray and to James Lingwood from Art Angels, who she spoke to at Reading Prison.
And also thank you to everyone who we spoke to about creating their new future.
Thanks to our producer, Warren. And if you like us, please rate us.
And remember to subscribe on Acast, iTunes or your favourite podcast app.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks with more from these four walls.